Black are gold pants, 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 black. Podcast.
Good evening and welcome to episode 9 of Black Heart Gold Podcast. I am Hawkeye State, joined as ever by Oops Pal Surprise. Oops, good evening.
Good evening to you, sir.
How are you doing?
Horrible. Just horrible.
Yeah, it's been a bad year for us.
I heard we're undefeated, and I think that means that we haven't won a game.
Yeah. We have no grasp of the English language whatsoever.
You're right.
All right, well, tonight we're joined by LVS, regular contributor over at The Only Colors, and Michigan State blogger extraordinaire. LVS, how are you?
What's going on, guys? I'm doing well.
We're doing a little bit worse by Sunday, believe me.
I don't know about that. We'll see.
Now, The Only Colors, I think, implies, correct me if I'm wrong, that The Only Colors are green and white. Is that correct?
That is the line from the fight song, yes.
All right, well, if green is the color of envy, and white is the color of surrender. Why are you envious surrender monkeys?
Why are we? Well, I am a Democrat after all, so I mean it would make sense. But those are the lyrics from the fight song. We spent about like an entire month trying to figure out a name for the site, but ended up settling on that one.
Believe me, you did a much better job than we did.
can
yeah,
we
nobody knows
what
the name of your site, obviously.
Yeah.
Can we interest you in white quarterback, green pants?
Ooh. Well, actually, we're real big on the white wide receivers at Michigan State. So, I mean, that might be a little bit of an unwieldy title, though.
And no one is into white wide receivers like Iowa.
Right, right. You're among friends
true.
Here.
I mean, there's a long tradition of that in Iowa.
That's
City,
right. You know it. Yeah. You've got a ball. Now, LVS, you know, I've taken a quick look at the Spartans this year. What had been kind of a quarterback controversy early on seems to have settled down, and Kirk Cousins is your starter. Is that correct?
Well, that's kind of what we want. I don't think that it settled down as a conscious thing. It's more that there's been injuries. Cousins got hurt against Michigan towards the end of the game, so Nickel played the entire game against Illinois, and then Nickel was hurt during the Illinois game. It looked like a pretty bad injury, but apparently it's not that bad. But nonetheless, Cousins played the entirety of the game last week against Northwestern. I don't have complete up-to-date information on Nickel's injury. My impression is that it's probably preferable if he doesn't play, but he probably would be available if necessary on Saturday. Nonetheless, I mean, I think that Cousins is a superior option for us at quarterback, so I hope that he plays the entire game.
Now, what they were using more or less a rotation early on in the season, isn't that right?
Yeah, it was, a couple series for one guy and then a couple series for the other guy. And I think it was the consensus within the Michigan State internets that wasn't a good thing for the team, that it was really breaking up the momentum and consistency of the offense by rotating the quarterbacks like that. So, if it's injuries that causes that to be over with, I think we're all right with that.
Sure. And it doesn't seem like they were doing that either of them were particularly great or bad or anything. Like, it almost seemed like a distinction without a difference, like who was behind center. Because they're both, if they had the numbers to qualify, I'm not sure if they do or not, but they were both in, like, the top five of Big Ten passing efficiency, right?
Yeah, I haven't looked at the numbers following last week's game, but I know that a week and a half ago, I think that Cousins was third and Nickel was sixth.
Yeah.
So both of them are not too bad. I think that if you watch the game closely, Cousins is pretty clearly the superior quarterback at this point. Nickel gives you a little bit in terms of scrambling ability that Cousins doesn't have quite as much, but I think at least that Cousins is a much superior passer. Additionally, Cousins is kind of a team leader. He's, I think, one of three guys in the history of the program that's been elected a captain as a sophomore. So he has the real support of the team, and quite honestly, he has the support of the fan base, too. So
now, the statistics look like Nickel maybe is a little bit better of a runner. Is that right?
Yes, I would definitely agree with that. He has a little bit of extra dimension to the offense like that, although it is worth saying that Cousins broke a few huge runs against Michigan, which made a big difference. I think that one of them was like a 49-yard run, and he also had runs of 19 and 12. So when the opportunity presents itself, he can definitely scramble out of the pocket and make some things happen.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now, and he's got Michigan State's longest run of the season, which is 41 yards.
Okay, 41. Well, that's pretty embarrassing, isn't it? That the non-scrambling quarterback has the longest run of the season for our team.
Well, that's Iowa can barely beat that, too. So it's not that much of an embarrassment.
Now, speaking of running, what's the running back situation? I mean, I understand Capers been kind of the primary guy, but you've been kind of going with a two-headed monster, and then Winston was injured.
Yeah, Winston's done for the year. That's the way that it was looking for a while, that you'd have Capers kind of out of the two, he was the shiftier one, but Capers still a pretty big guy, so he can run up the middle. And then Winston was definitely just the straight-ahead runner until he tore his ACL against Illinois. Caper has shown some things, but he's definitely just a freshman. And the main problem, honestly, has not been with the running backs. It's been with the offensive line, which for some reason is very good at pass blocking, but is pretty terrible at run blocking. So, but we've got Caper, who's yards per carry average is halfway decent, but that been buoyed by a few big runs. I think 3 weeks in a row now he's had 20-plus yard touchdown runs and then a whole bunch of, you know, 1-2-yard gains on top of that. Additionally, our other true freshman running back, Edwin Baker, we actually just burned his red shirt last week for him to play against Northwestern because with the injury to Winston and also an injury to one of the backups, we were looking pretty thin at the position. Baker's a pretty fast guy. He's a little shifty, so he'll see some playing time as well. But it's definitely not the strength of the offense this year, for sure.
Yeah. Baker's numbers look pretty good for only playing 1 week. 20 carries for 72 yards as a backup.
Well, was that? No, that wasn't just 1 week. He also played a little bit in the first game against Montana State,
okay,
which is a 1AA opponent. But we were planning on redshirting him until the injury bug hit.
Is Caper... Like, do you think that he's going to end up getting, like, 20, 25 carries this week, or is it just going to be Cousins sitting back there and throwing 80% of the time?
Well, I think it's difficult to say just because Iowa is so strong in the secondary. I feel like for us to have any kind of success, we're going to have to get something going on the ground. It's worked some weeks better than others. We had a pretty decent effort by the run game against Michigan and also against Illinois, but Illinois is atrocious, obviously. And then there was quite a bit of regression last week, to be honest with you. I think that I think that we had like less than 3 yards a carry against Northwestern, which, given that it's Northwestern, is really not very good at all. Nonetheless, if Iowa's going to be showing that two deep safety look, we're going to have to run the ball at least a little bit to try and get the secondary to cheat up. So I think that it's got to be part of the game plan. But honestly, for us to have success on the offense, we're going to have to be passing the ball because that's where we're going to get our yards from.
And do you think that the emphasis of the pass this year is a shift based solely on necessity, that the running game the running backs are so young and the running game has been so lethargic they've had to do it that way? Or is that going to be what D'Antonio wants to do in the future?
It probably should come as quite a bit of a surprise to people who just left the program last year and figured that D'Antonio was just this doctrinaire run first guy, because, you know, we definitely have the emphasis on the pass this year. I think that it's a reaction to just the personnel that we have. Obviously, our running backs are very, very young. Before Winston got hurt, he still was a sophomore, and he was playing a lot. And then our second best running, and then our other running backs have been playing the whole season. Larry Caper is a true freshman, and Edwin Baker is a true freshman. So you've got a lot of inexperience in the running game. You've got an offensive line which is not great at run blocking, but you've also got two quarterbacks who can throw the ball relatively well in a group of really very good wide receivers. So I think that the offensive game plan is just to take advantage of our strength. So I don't know what it's going to look like going forward, but I would expect, unless one of the running backs really blossoms, which we have seen something from them, which could indicate that that'll happen, but this is going to be a team that'll pass the ball quite a bit for the next few seasons.
Well, I'd say your strengths are definitely in the passing game right now. And Blair White last week, holy shit.
Oh, we're allowed to curse? All right.
Oh, yeah.
We got the explicit tag on iTunes. We're good.
Oh, good. I was wondering if I was going to be able to talk about Tyler motherfucking Sash.
Oh, yeah. No problem.
Oh, yeah. Balls.
Okay, good.
I just said balls.
It's encouraged.
Blair White.
Yeah. Blair White, huge week. BJ Cunningham, who I think was a member of the cast of MASH, has been pretty spectacular, too. And Keshawn Martin, who has caught 7 passes for 172 yards and has a passer rating of 682 based on his 130-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah.
That's got to be a record.
That's yeah, I think that's a new high.
I can't even do that in video games.
Jake Christensen can. so how deep are you at receiver, and how just how good is this receiver core?
Very deep and very good, quite honestly. It's the best part of our team.
Better than
Blair White, like you talked about, he had a huge, huge game against Northwestern last week. The offense did absolutely nothing in the first half, and then we came out in the second half and took some shots downfield to him, and it worked perfectly. He's an excellent route runner. He catches everything that's thrown to him that's even in his vicinity, I think he's the best offensive player on our team. If it wasn't for Jordan Shipley, he'd definitely win the Welker Award for the best white wide receiver in college football. the other guys, BJ Cunningham, he's actually had a lot better season than I thought he was going to. In the past, he's had a lot of problems with drops, but he's a very physically talented guy, and this year he's really been much better with his consistency in terms of catching the ball. Also, a guy that you didn't mention who's our other big threat, Mark Dell, who had a pretty lackluster game against Illinois a couple of weeks ago, and we didn't see a whole lot of him against Northwestern, but he's probably the biggest deep threat out of the three. The guy who can really be a game breaker for us. He's got a lot of speed and a lot of physical ability. As you said, Keshawn Martin, he operates out of the slot a little bit. His receiving stats are buoyed quite a bit by one, I think it was about a 90-yard touchdown pass at the end of the Wisconsin game, so that shoots that a little bit out of proportion, but he's good. And additionally, in addition to our wide receivers, we've also got a slew of tight ends who can also catch the ball. When you pair that with a quarterback in Kirk Cousins who's really a very good passer, very accurate throwing, you've got the makings of a very good passing offense, which I think we are.
Looking at the defense a little bit, they gave up pretty decent numbers to Central Michigan, Notre Dame, Wisconsin, and the three losses so far, but they seem to have buckled down quite a bit since then. Is there any real reason for that, or is that just a byproduct of playing Illinois and Northwestern?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's the big question, and that's, the larger question about the turnaround of this team. Does this reflect a real improvement of the team, or is it more just because of who we played? The one thing that I will say about the defense is that for 3.5 quarters against Michigan, they were excellent. And Michigan is not a bad offensive team. They completely stopped the run against Michigan and stopped the offense generally until Tate Forcier threw on the Superman costume at the end of the fourth quarter there. The problem at the beginning of the year had definitely been in the secondary. We were getting beat like crazy by the pass, although it is, Notre Dame is an excellent passing team. Central Michigan is a team that does, basically abandon the run game, and Dan LeFever is an excellent quarterback, so he picks us apart a little bit. And then we played a terrible game against Wisconsin. But the pass defense, I was enormously pessimistic about it. heading into the Michigan game. I thought that it was going to completely ruin our season, but they've turned things around in a big way. In the past few weeks, they've been much, much better. They've been forcing some turnovers. And, you know, whether that's a reflection of a real turnaround in the team or a reflection of who we played, I guess is yet to be determined. But at least there are encouraging signs with the secondary where there weren't before.
Now, is it true that your defensive coordinator has a name that includes the word nard?
Aldo Doozy, which is kind of close to douchey, I guess. But, yes, Pat Narduzzi, who is very, very unpopular among certain segments of the Michigan State fan base. I'm a little bit more even keeled on him, but there's some people who, ever since the beginning of the season, have really been out for his head. So,
well,
including some on our side.
Yeah, and whenever you lose a game or give up anywhere more than 28 points, people are going to blame the defensive coordinator, like, no matter what. So, I mean, it's par for the course. We've been hearing that Norm Parker's got to go for about 10 years now. And
yeah, because Iowa just has had these terrible defenses the whole time.
Well, yeah. See, that's the whole point, though. Whenever Iowa loses, it's Parker's fault and he's got to go.
Yeah.
The irony of that being is that Norm can't actually go anymore because he's lost too many toes and can't walk.
We've got a Hannibal Lecter cart for him.
Yeah, that's it. We roll him out Hannibal Lecter cart every week. Now, from what I've been reading, you guys are using a very kind of stock base 4-3 pretty much all the time. Is that right?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, and there's another reason why we sympathize with you. It seems that that's always the first knock on Parker is that there's no variety in the scheme.
No variation.
Yeah.
Well, you'll see a kind of a 3-3-5 nickel package from time to time, but I would say that 90% of our defensive snaps were on a 4-3. Our defensive line play has been much, much better in recent games, especially on the interior. We've got a freshman, Jarrell Worthy, who's been excellent and is definitely going to be on the Big Ten, you know, freshman team and possibly nationally. He'll get some attention. He's playing very, very well. Also, our linebackers have just been ripping it up the past few games. That's Northwestern. Eric Gordon and Greg Jones had 29 tackles and 3 sacks between them. So they're playing excellent football.
I would say so. Wow. Eric Gordon, man, you have the old Indiana point guard playing linebacker for you.
He's exactly. A big kid.
He's a big kid, yeah. He whooped us.
Yeah, he's from Illinois.
Yeah, everybody did. He's coming to us next. So you said the secondary's had some issues early on. They've been able to more or less figure those out?
It appears that way. I wouldn't say that we figured them out entirely, but it certainly is not quite as doom and gloom as it was looking at the beginning of the year. The guys are definitely getting more solid coverage. There's been better safety play. We were kind of rotating at safety a little bit between Trent Robinson and Danny Fortner. And Fortner honestly didn't have the greatest game against Northwestern, but he's established himself there. The guy who was really getting picked on against Central Michigan and Notre Dame is Chris L. Rucker. He had a terrible start to the season, but he's really steadied himself ever since he made the big play for us in overtime against Michigan. He's looked a whole lot better. So I think at the very least things have settled down. They're not perfect, but it's not the absolute scream and weakness that it looked like earlier in the season.
Now, Greg Jones has been mentioned as a potential defensive player of the year in the conference, since the beginning of the year, and his stats seem to bear that out right now. Is it as much the pass rush and him kind of really starting to key in on getting to the quarterback? Because I know that Michigan State's been racking up a ton of sacks lately.
Yeah.
Has that been as big for the secondary as the kind of the stability in the personnel?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a very valid point and has a lot to do with it. That comes from the front four as well. They didn't get any pressure on the quarterback all the way up until the Wisconsin game. In the last few weeks, they've really turned it up. But, yeah, Jones is very, very good at that blitz right up the middle. And that's what, you know, gives him kind of the gaudy stats and makes people pay attention. But he's just an excellent, excellent linebacker in pretty much all facets. In a run game, he flies to the ball. He's not bad in coverage, and he's, like I said, he's really excellent at getting to the quarterback on the blitz. He's the best defensive player we've had at Michigan State in quite a long time.
Is there any way that you can maybe run him over with your car before the game?
I don't know. I mean, you guys can come to East Lansing and give it a shot. Actually,
right.
I'm bringing one of my good buddies who is a big Hawkeye fan and an avid Blackheart Gold reader is going to be is coming to the game with me on Saturday. So I'll just make sure not to give him the keys to the car.
There you go.
He doesn't get
nice
any ideas from you.
Well, if he's really cut from the Blackheart Gold cloth, he'll bring at least like a throwing hatchet to the game to try to pick him off from a 50 yards.
Sniper rifle.
They haven't been checking quite as stringently at the gates, making you open your bags and such. So, you know,
that's a huge mistake when I was coming to town. That's a huge mistake. Just ask Wisconsin. They say that John Clay got injured. It was
John Clay. I've never seen a guy get bent up like that before. And go back,
I can't believe
game.
He was walking.
Yeah,
after
he
that.
Was like origami running back, and
I,
somehow.
Yeah,
made
I mean, I thought that they were going to have to cart him off, and all of a sudden, like, you know, one series later, I saw him run the ball. It's like, what's going on here?
Yeah. Well, but he was bad
he
after
he
that.
He didn't play
though.
That well for the rest of the game, right?
No, because he got bent in half.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a pretty strong correlation there. No, I'm stunned that Wisconsin didn't put in that freshman running back, the one who scored the touchdown while they were gluing Clay back together.
Yeah. I'm sure that there are some Brett Bielema Iowa conspiracy theories floating around the internet about that one.
Oh, sure. I'm sure they're out there. But, Uspal, do you mean, when you said that freshman running back, do you mean let's make a deal's Monty Ball?
Yes, yes.
Yes. So it's going to be a fun 4 years with him.
Yeah.
Now, I got to tell you, LVS, that when Michigan State imploded against Central Michigan and then followed up with a noble but in the end short performance against Notre Dame and Wisconsin, that I was kind of tenting my fingers with glee at the thought of the next Michigan State death spiral.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
Yeah, and somehow they've pulled out of it. Maybe Mark D'Antonio really is better than John L. Smith.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah.
What are
your thoughts on the first year and change of the D'Antonio regime, and then how do you feel about the fact that your coach and our coach seem to be BFFs?
Oh, well, this is actually year three of D'Antonio now.
Right. Sorry.
No, it's fine. the fact that we had lost three straight games, a game against Central Michigan, which that's a good team, but if you're Michigan State, like, for reasons of pride alone, you can never, ever, ever, ever lose that game. And then a real heartbreaker against Notre Dame where we were very close. And then we went to Wisconsin, and we didn't show up at all until, 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So the Wisconsin game was really alarming for us because, you know, we saw a team that didn't really show up. We're thinking like, oh my God, this is third loss in a row. What's going to happen here? And, you know, on our side, we already started talking about basketball season. But, it was all set up to, you know, for the season to just absolutely crash and burn because right afterwards we had Michigan coming in. And no team crushes the dreams of MSU like Michigan does. But, you know, we played an excellent, excellent game against Michigan. The game went into overtime, but we clearly deserved to win that game. We were the better team across the course of it. And then, I mean, the last two games, again, it's kind of difficult to tell whether it's been more our play or the fact that we've just played against two not very good teams. Although I don't think that Northwestern is terrible, but Illinois certainly is. But either way, the death spiral hasn't happened, so that's certainly a positive. The D'Antonio regime in general, you know, there were a few people who were really mouth breathing after the three losses earlier this season. But I think it'd be really difficult not to be pleased with what he's done so far. You know, two bowl games in the first two seasons. You know, looking like we're on the right track for a third year in a row, going to a bowl. Not having the program look like an absolute laughingstock, like it did so often under John L. Smith and Bobby Williams. I mean, that's certainly a positive thing in and of itself. So, D'Antonio, he's very hard edge kind of guy. But after the epic ass clownery of the John L. Smith era, I think that's kind of been refreshing for all of us. There won't be. You'd have to find some real, real mouth-breathing types, which among the Michigan State fan base, I assure you that they exist, but, you know, 99% of us support him fully.
Let me ask you, this is a hypothetical. Which is a more likely scenario? Mark D'Antonio slapping himself in a press conference or Mike Valenti failing to go crazy at any point in a given season?
Make plays! You're at home! At night! Third largest crowd in the history of that stadium with a 37-21 lead. Make plays! Don't sit there and pucker! Make plays!
I know, difficult one, right?
Like, I think my head's going to like explode Stanner style at the... just at the... The idea of having to pick between those two things. I think that D'Antonio is much more likely to slap somebody else or punch somebody else Woody Hayes style than slap himself during a press conference.
Is Valenti still like gainfully employed on the radio?
Yeah, he's still on the same station. That's a proud member of the Michigan State Alumni Association right there. I'm so glad to have him. Actually, he's not quite as crazy as his reputation from the one Notre Dame thing implies, but it's sports talk radio. It is what it is.
I'm tired. God, I love that.
Make plays.
The puckering.
Pucker.
Yeah.
So we'll get you out with your prediction for the week. What do you think?
Well, you know, I do like that this game is at home. It's been a long time since you guys have won in East Lansing, right?
95.
90s? Yeah, 95? Yeah.
95.
Yeah, so, I mean, you guys are, of all the teams you have to play 2 years in a row on the road, it really kind of got screwed in the schedule in here. So I feel better about the fact that it's at home. It's a night game at home and obviously a very consequential one in terms of the lead race, so the crowd is going to be very much into it and very boisterous, and you know, I'd like to believe that we get a little bit of a lift from that. In terms of what's going on the football field, I don't think that this is a great matchup for us because, you know, and you can correct me about this if I'm wrong, but if there's anywhere to attack the Iowa defense, it seems that it's the weak point is the defensive line.
Just going right after.
Not the secondary.
Defensive line in the run game is the weakness. That's going to be the absolute. That's what we were so worried about Wisconsin last week was you can run the ball on Iowa this year. You really can't throw it particularly well against them, but you can definitely run the ball on them.
Yeah. And our personnel just doesn't stack up very well for that. I mean, we've got some young running backs who have definitely shown some ability over the course of the year, but they haven't shown me enough to make me believe that we're going to be able to have a huge day on the ground against Iowa. They're young guys, so they could explode, but I haven't seen any evidence that would suggest that so far. The way that we have success is throwing the ball, and Iowa probably has the best secondary that we're going to play against all season long. We have enough wide receivers where we can spread the field a bit and make you cover a whole lot of guys, but... it certainly doesn't seem like an ideal matchup for us. The only other thing that's really been worrying me all week is the way that Tony Moyaki has been playing for Iowa. The two good tight ends that we've played so far this year, Kyle Rudolph for Notre Dame and Derek Grant for Wisconsin, both absolutely killed us. So I'm a little bit worried about Moyaki having a really big day given the way that he's been playing the last couple of weeks.
He'll be hurt stretching. before kickoff.
He can't get three games in without going down with an injury. It's just gonna.
It seems like we're playing you guys the right weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. He's due.
So in terms of the matchup, you know, there's not a huge reason for optimism, but you know, the way that we've been playing the last 3 weeks has definitely got to provide a little bit of a lift for our team. You know, I got to the Temple prediction right now. 27-21 Iowa. But it definitely would not shock me at all to see us pull out this game. We're talented enough, and you know, if we get a few big plays break our way, it definitely could happen. I think that Iowa is a little bit better than we are.
All right. Well, and with your honest assessment, shockingly honest.
Well, yeah, you know, like the other podcast that I did this season was the MDO blog podcast, where I also predicted a Michigan win, so people are going to think that I'm like a double agent here, that I'm rooting for all the teams that we play.
Well, if you're going to keep picking Michigan State to lose and the games we win, go back and change it. We'll edit this out. You say you're going to win by 7 touchdowns, and we'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. I think that it should be a relatively close game, I think that Iowa is just a little bit better, and. You know, there should be a little bit of motivation for the way that you guys lost against us last season, and also, I mean, you're playing for a lot, but so are we. So I'm very, very, very excited to go to East Lansing for the game on Saturday. I think it's going to be great. I have one question for you guys.
By all means.
When Ron Zook inevitably gets fired at the end of this season, is the Big Ten going to revoke Bob Zook's Media Day credentials?
Oh, ooh, we haven't checked on that yet.
I don't think the Big Ten ever really...
That would break my heart.
I don't think they've ever actually credentialed him. He's more or less just crashed.
Right.
So I don't think it'll be able to stop him, although the motivation might not be there because he's not searching after his long-lost brother. But if we can, if we give him enough Pabst Blue Ribbon and Red Man Tobacco, he'll go anywhere. So we'll probably...
Okay, well, just that thought should be enough to get me through to next August.
And that will do it for episode 9. I'd like to thank LVS from The Only Colors for joining us, helping us out this week. Wish him and all those guys at The Only Colors the absolute worst of luck this coming week. Next week, we're preparing for the Indiana game. Be sure to tune in either on Blackheart Gold Pants or through a subscription at iTunes, which are available for free. In the meantime, go Hawks. Hawkeye State out.